The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here's how the AFC playoffs are shaking out. Indy versus Buffalo on Saturday at 1. The Browns versus Steelers, they just played. That's on Sunday night at 8:15 after the Ravens and Titans face off on ESPN and ABC, 1 p.m. Eastern. Max Kell, you're up first. Let's talk about this AFC wild card. Which one is most likely to be upset? Excuse me. Which team?
I think it's the Steelers. I think the Browns really have a chance here, and more than even just the likelihood of it, because Cleveland's run defense has gotten better. And as the season's gone on, Cleveland's really gotten an identity. They're the run the ball, stop the run team. You know, Stephen A., you could talk about how effective they are against the run, although they're pretty good. They're not amazing, right? But they have an identity. That's who they are. Who are the Steelers? You know, the Steelers, they can play defense, but can they run the ball? Not even a little bit. They can't block for the run at all. They can't run block. And Ben Roethlisberger, I hear people say, I still think he can throw the ball down the field. He just doesn't. Why? Because the line's not giving him enough time for the receivers to get downfield? I don't know. When I've seen him take shots downfield, I don't really like what I see. He gets rid of that ball quick on those short little passes. But when the defense is playing up, if you can't run the ball anyway, right, that's bad for the run. So I do think the Browns, who have real talent on both sides of the ball and an ascending quarterback, have a good chance to win. But more than that, Stephen A., that would really be an upset. It would upset the culture. Huh?
No, I said the only reason why – I'm sorry, I thought you was finished. My apologies. That's all. Go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
No, sorry. I'll just say it would upset the culture of the sport, certainly of the AFC North. But right. The fact that little brother – you know, that would come up in the world like that, that the Steelers look at that division, don't just have to worry about the Ravens, but the Browns, too, would be an enormous psychological upset in the world of football. And I think that's the most likely one.
First of all, you need to educate yourself on rivalries, because the Cleveland Browns are no little brother of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As a matter of fact, they ain't even family, okay? They ain't members of the family, right? Who the hell are the Cleveland Browns, all right? You know what I'm saying? They're enemies, all right? That's what they're enemies, and the Steelers usually stomp on them, right? They ain't family. So let's get that out the way right now. That's number one. Number two, even though I'll give you this, if there's any validity to your argument, it's the fact that it would be an upset in my eyes if the Browns beat the Steelers. I don't think that Tennessee should be labeled an upset if they beat Baltimore. But that's who I'm going with here in terms of picking which team I think is going to win. Since people are talking about Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and the Baltimore Ravens with Harbaugh and all of these boys, I'm thinking about Tennessee. I will remind you, Tennessee already beat the Baltimore Ravens this year. It was an overtime game. Derrick Henry scampers for a 29-yard touchdown run. In overtime, they win that game. He finished the game with 28 carries for 133 yards. But forget all of that, Max. You remember what happened the last year's divisional playoff game in Baltimore when Tennessee showed up there? A guy by the name of Derrick Henry showed up then, too. He ran the ball 30 times that day for 195 yards. I'm talking about right now. Baltimore ain't sleeping this week. They ain't sleeping this week. They nervous as hell. They worried because you got that brother to be worried about here. And Ryan Tannehill has played some decent ball. Corey Davis, obviously, last time he showed up against Baltimore, he had over 100 yards receiving. Okay, you still got A.J. Brown who can ball. Now, Tennessee gives a lot defensively, but in the same breath, they don't always break. They've got a couple of big victories this year, including the one against Baltimore that I mentioned, a split with Indy as well. But the bottom line is this. When you look at Lamar Jackson, he threw for 100 and change against them in the regular season. Last year in the playoffs, he wasn't that impressive throwing the football, which we've both lamented. The reality is that if you are the Baltimore Ravens, at some point you're going to need Lamar Jackson to use that arm to win a playoff game. I think Tennessee should be the favorite in this game. I think they'd be ready. Obviously, Baltimore could win this game, but I'm not picking them to do it because they don't have Derrick Henry. Tennessee does, and that's what I'm rolling with. That's my belief.
Well, I mean, What I respect about that is the Baltimore run defense, which has gotten better as the season's gone on.
It's not
what it was last year. And as you mentioned, Derrick Henry did his thing last year, and so you expect more of the same this year. But on the flip side of that, Lamar Jackson in his first playoff game was god-awful in the first half. And in the second half was much better than he was in the first half. And then if you look at his playoff game last year, he was much better than he was in his first year. How much better does he need to beat the Titans? Like, that's what's on the line. Lamar Jackson, there's a ton of pressure on him in this game, but I think he can do it. When I look at the and so the underdog in that case doesn't win, and I agree with you. I don't even know that the Titans should be, certainly not. I think they're underdogs. The Ravens are favored by more than a field goal. I think it's a 3.5-point mm-hmm. favorites. So I agree with that. It's more like a pick'em type game. But I really would view the Browns beating the Steelers as an upset in a larger way than just the odds. It would upset the way we think about the NFL, at least in terms of that division. The mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, who go 8-8 without Roethlisberger last year, who were undefeated for so much of this season, versus the Browns, who were in utter disarray in recent years. For the Browns to win that game would be a monumental upset, even if you look at the odds and you go, well, maybe even the Browns should. That's a close game. But in a larger sense, it's a huge upset.
Yeah, Max. All I'm going to say to you is this. Last year in the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill threw for 88 yards. Lamar Jackson threw for 365 yards and ran for 143 yards and still lost. 365 yards passing, 143 yards rushing. That's over 500 yards of offense by himself.
Unreal.
And they still lost.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
To the NFL we go right now. Cam Newton completed a lackluster season in New England Sunday with his first game throwing at least two touchdown passes since 2018. Week 13, he acknowledged the season didn't turn out as he had hoped. Remember, he did have COVID as well, in fairness, but added this when asked if he would accept a backup quarterback position. Listen up, y'all.
Honestly, it's too early to tell, and that's as honest as I could be. Do I think I have starting talent? Absolutely. Do I think a lot of things that I've done were devalued in not the team's perspective, probably the media's perspective? Absolutely.
Stephen A., you got to love his answer there. He's shown a lot of humility. But what do you think, in your opinion? Is Cam still a starting quarterback in the league?
I don't think so. That doesn't mean he can't be again. But you know, your play ultimately has to speak for you. And I know we have to take COVID into consideration and things of that nature. The man threw for 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in 15 games. Let's put that in its proper perspective. 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in 15 games. That's putrid. I mean, what do you want me to say? COVID, yeah. Being bereft of weapons on the New England Patriots because Bill Belichick didn't draft appropriately and didn't put the right guys on the roster. Okay. The team, several of its players, most of them defensive players, by the way, electing not to participate because of COVID-19 and the kind of year this was going to be. Okay. But in the end, 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, even though it was at a 65% completion percentage. That is not what a starting quarterback in the National Football League makes. And this is a league MVP, a former league MVP, albeit 5-6 years ago, 2015, that we're talking about here, that has had a lot happen to his body because he was Superman, because he wanted to run with the football as much as throw the football, because he subjected his body to a level of punishment that ultimately has Father Time knocking at your door a little bit earlier than usual. It could be a multitude of reasons, but at the end of the day, the numbers do not speak to a guy that should be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Now, if you don't have a starter and you give him an opportunity to compete and he wins out the job, that's fine. All I'm saying is, based on his level of production, combined with watching him still cocking that head back before he throws a pass, having him watching him throw passes too short, too long, off target, accuracy still being an issue for him, etc., there is no way in hell that I think anyone could sit up here on national television and say definitively that Cam Newton is the starting quarterback in the National Football League. He can be again, and I wish him nothing but the best. I hope that he is because I root for the brother. But the bottom line is his productivity does not validate any kind of proclamation or declaration that he should be a starting quarterback in the National Football League right now.
That's right. He didn't prove it this year. He did not prove that he's a starter this year, nor did he disprove that he's a starter this year. And when last seen on a football field healthy, he was an above-average starter. When last seen on a football field healthy before this season with Carolina, he was a better passer than he'd been in his MVP season. And you and I have talked often about and debated the influence of Norv Turner on Cam Newton that year. Nevertheless, that's what happened. Then he got hurt. He was the best player and the main factor in a winning team winning. When he having his best season, at least as a passer, including his MVP year, remember he's a former MVP, voted by his peers best player in the game, in the middle of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers prime, they voted Cam Newton best player in the game, not just the writers, the peers, you know, other football players, was having a better season as a passer when last seen. And his team was winning and he was the reason why. So that's what we know about Cam Newton. Recent evidence is as follows. Cam is coming off a catastrophic injury. Usually when that happens, a guy needs a year to come back, which is what it took him more or less, and then a year to get back to his previous levels. This was that year. But to compound the situation, events conspired to make Cam look worse than I believe he really is, which includes going to a new team, new system, new everything from the only team he'd ever known as a pro. That team is Bill Belichick's Patriots with replacing Tom Brady to highest possible standards and high expectations. That team, however, had zero offensive weapons. You lamented consistently last year Tom Brady was made to look worse than he really is because of a lack of offensive weapons. If anything, this team had fewer than that team. Compounded by the fact that there were opt-outs before the season began of high-ranked defensive players on the team like Chung and Hightower. And by the way, Gilmore got hurt at a certain point. So all that is the case. And then he doesn't get to practice with the team because it's COVID. New team, new system, coming off injury, the whole thing. Compounded by the fact that he himself got COVID. So the facilities were shut down. A coach like Belichick, who really needs that time without talent especially and a brand new quarterback to really practice together and figure things out, didn't get the time. Cam himself had COVID. You and I both noticed that for weeks he didn't look like the same guy. And then he later said, I didn't feel like the same guy. He was in that COVID fog we've heard about. Nevertheless, with all of that, he went 7-9. I know the passing numbers didn't look great. Touchdown to interception ratio, not good. They never look great with Cam Newton. The team went 7-9 with him as the quarterback and came 2 plays away from very likely going 9-7. So, did he prove he's a starter? No, he didn't prove it because of what you brought up. But did he disprove it? No, he didn't. And were I a team who needed a quarterback, including the Patriots, I would want Cam Newton if he were available.
He had a quarterback rating over 100 just three times in 15 games. Only two times in 15 games did he throw for over 300 yards. He was benched twice this season, against San Francisco, against Buffalo. Max, when you're the starting quarterback for a team and you're definitively a starting quarterback quality-wise, you don't get benched twice in the season. That's stuff that happens to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a journeyman who can start for you on any given Sunday or can find himself riding a bench and holding a clipboard on any given Sunday. When you are a starting quarterback, you are definitively a starting quarterback. Week in and week out, you're penciled in as the guy, not just literally, but figuratively, because everybody knows it. I'm saying the fact that you said he didn't prove it, but he didn't disprove it, means that it's up in the air. And if it's up in the air, that means you're not a starting quarterback. You're someone who can start, but you're not a starting quarterback. It's not definitive. Well, it's a guessing game because of it. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. That is fair. I respect that. My opinion is I would make him a starter. I think what you're talking about is a franchise quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback at this moment. I still think he can be.
Plenty of starters that are not franchise quarterbacks.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news into First Take out of Cleveland. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski has tested positive for COVID-19, according to our Adam Schefter. Two other coaches and players dealing with COVID-related issues. They are closing their facilities. Fellas, the Browns have not won a playoff game since 1995. Jeff Saturday is joining the conversation here. Stephen A., I'll start with you. They just started turning things around. What a gut punch. And now Sunday night, they're going to have to go against your Steelers. How big of an impact do you think this is going to affect the game?
Well, to me, not much of an impact at all. They were going to lose anyway. That's how I look at it. I mean, hey, they got the perfect excuse to go down. I mean, I wish them in all seriousness nothing but the best, Kevin Stefanski. He's the son of a very dear friend of mine, Ed Stefanski, who was an executive in the NBA for years and still there right now. I wish him nothing but the best. He's done an outstanding job as coach. I hope he and his coaching staff and the players are all safe. We, in all seriousness, we wish them nothing but the best. I'm dead serious about that, obviously. But from a football perspective, I expected the Browns to lose anyway. And I still expect them to lose. So the way I look at it, the impact is going to be pretty much non-existent because the results are going to be exactly what I expected them to be. The Browns are going into the playoffs after 17 years. They should be happy about that. We wish them nothing but the best. Hope they're safe and healthy. But they are going down Sunday night on the football field.
Well, I feel terrible for the football fans in Cleveland, which is, the dog pound. Like, those guys are – they started a grassroots movement to get the Cleveland Browns name back, to get a franchise back in Cleveland when Cleveland, you know, when they up and left and went to Baltimore, who lost their franchise to the Colts, to Indy, not, you know, that long before then. But the point is, those football fans have been through thick and thin – and usually thin or whatever the bad one is. And they keep showing up and they keep supporting the Browns. And they even got a Browns team back when it was taken away from them. And they've had almost no reason to ever be optimistic. But they finally do now. They got the number one overall pick in the draft, who looked for a little while. Is that a bust or no? Oh, okay. It was just too many head coaches too soon. No stability. He got a good one in Stefanski, settled down, and Baker looks like he's on his way. He's at least a solid starting quarterback. And they have an identity. Run the ball, stop the run. And they have receivers Baker can get the ball to. And the Browns have real optimism that they can beat the Steelers. And, in fact, I picked them until this news came out to score the upset. And I'm not sure that I'm moving off of that just because of this, because they have even more to play for and to bring them together as a team, which they're going to need. It would be such a monumental thing psychologically and emotionally for the Steelers to realize it's not just the Ravens that we have to deal with in this division. There's another 11-win team. If the Browns can upset the Steelers, the way we even think about that division in the NFL completely changes. I think they have everything to play for, and I'm not going to count them out because they got a bit of bad news, but this is bad news. It makes it more difficult for them to win this game.
Yeah, listen, I think when you look at this, this is going to be insurmountable. When you're talking about Stefanski not being there, the distractions throughout the week, we don't even know the players yet. And then, you know, what's going to happen with the contact tracing for other players. I mean, we've seen teams play without a quarterback. You know, we saw the Browns a few weeks ago play without receivers. I mean, this is as bad as it gets as far as trying to prepare for a playoff game. But I'll take it any deeper. You know, Stefanski, first year, you know, missing his first opportunity to coach a playoff game. And as a play caller for Baker Mayfield, helping him, finding rhythm, finding different ways to manufacture offense, which, by the way, they will have to do if they have any chance against the Steelers, because they cannot leave their defense on the field. I mean, look, as bad as the Steelers' offensive line has played running the ball and really even in pass rush win efficiency, I know I've had all kind of Steelers fans say, oh, they're not giving up sacks. It's because Roethlisberger gets the ball out of his hand in a minute, I mean, a second and a half. So, like, you know, they played one really good quarter of football, the Steelers, against the Colts a few weeks ago, and that showed you how proficient they could be strikes down the field, which we know Cleveland is vulnerable to. So I think when you look at this is just going to be one of those things they can't overcome, you know, all this hitting them this late in the season or this early in the week of the playoffs. It's just you hate it, man, because, listen, when you get to this point, I don't care what anybody says. Like, the regular season is what it is. But it is
yeah.
When you get to this level of football and you make the playoffs and you have a shot for this kind of thing to tip the scales, I just feel awful for them, for their fans. Man, it's a bummer, man. You know, it just sucks that it's happening.
No question.
For this organization.
It really does, especially how they turn things around. Pittsburgh's already a 5.5-point favorite. This is just a huge blow for them. We'll continue to keep you up to speed on any other news with that COVID situation there. But let's go from some depressing news and let's laugh at Stephen A. It's time now for Stephen Saylor.
Are you ready, Jeff Saturday? Are you ready? It's Stephen's A-list, the top five MVP candidates for this season. All right, now that the regular season's over, let's go to number five on my list. Give it to me. Stephon Diggs of the Buffalo Bills, a wide receiver. Why? How about 127 receptions? How about 1,535 yards? How about 12 yards a catch? How about 76.5% of the times that he is targeted by his quarterback, they connect. Stephon Diggs coming over from Minnesota. It's not an accident why the Buffalo Bills are 13-3. AFC East champions, the number two seed in the AFC, the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs. Stephon Diggs has a whole lot to do with that. He's five on my top five list for league MVP honors. Let's go to number four on the list. Give it to me. Josh Allen, his quarterback. Why? Have you seen this brother throw the football? Have you seen him do what he's been doing? He's 24 years of age. The man is balling right now. One of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. A leader, a good dude in the community. The city of Buffalo loves him dearly, and they're winning football games. Jim Kelly, He appreciates this man. He sees what this kid is doing. He is special. There is no doubt about it. They're on the uptick. He's got a lot to do with it as well. The combination of him and Diggs at 5-4. This is what you got with the MVP candidate. Let's go to number three on the list. Give it to me. Derrick Henry. Why? Do I have to say it, Jeff Saturday? Do I have to say it? 2,000-plus yards rushing. All right, only the ninth dude in NFL history to do it. Oh, by the way, averaging 5.4 yards a carry. We look at the Tennessee Titans. Okay, excuse me. They're a top four, top five offense, top two rushing attack in the National Football League. We don't know where the hell they are passing. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. No matter what you see from Ryan Tannehill and Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, it comes down to Derrick Henry. He is that dude. Ezekiel Elliott who? Please. This dude right here. The best running back in football. Number three on my list. Number two on my list. Give it to me. Patrick Mahomes. Why? Because we see the kind of season that the Kansas City Chiefs has had. We see how they've been toying with everybody. We see the 1,400-plus receiving yards that Travis Kelce has gotten. We see the greatness of Tyreek Hill. Somebody's flinging that damn football in Kansas City. Somebody's been listening to Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. Somebody's got Andy Reid as a Super Bowl champion. Eric Bieniemy as a head coach to be. And it's this dude right here, Patrick Mahomes. He's absolutely a superstar. He's special. But he ain't number one on the MVP list. I'll give you a hint. He's a bad man. Woo! I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing to discuss here. You tried to draft his successor. You tried to look beyond the era of Aaron Rodgers. You took him for granted. You tried to sit up there and light a fire under him. Well, you were successful in doing that. Now he needs to sit up there, go win a Super Bowl, and then tell you to kick rocks, Green Frey, for the absence of appreciation and respect and adulation that you have denied this man for years. All the greatness that he has given you, all that he deserves, you cut him short. But the football world knows better. They know how special Aaron Rodgers is. They know how elite he is. They know how great he is. They know he's a bad man. That is the league MVP without question. It ain't even close. Aaron Rodgers, number one. Patrick Mahomes, number two. Derrick Holmes, number three. Derrick Henry, number three. Josh Allen, number four. And Stephon Diggs, number five. That's my top five MVP candidates for this 2020 COVID-19 National Football League season.
Well, one and two, Max, is perfect. What do you think? You can't argue with one or two. You cannot argue with Aaron Rodgers at one. Rodgers is the MVP. I don't think you could argue with Mahomes at two. You can't have a running back in an MVP conversation if you're being serious. And all respect to Derrick Henry, and I feel terrible for running backs. It's the nature of the position. It's too dependent on run blocking and other stuff like that, as opposed to some other positions that I'll get to in a second. Josh Allen, and there's no way a running back has been more valuable than Josh Allen this year. So Josh Allen should be three. I love Stephon Diggs there. You're right. Those two work together, and Stephon Diggs deserves mention. But I'll give you another guy. I don't see one defensive player listed in your top five. Not one. And you're a Steelers fan, and they didn't win 12 games for no reason. T.J. Watt, who led the league in sacks and quarterback hits and tackles for loss and all kinds of stuff, and was the best player on that defense and the best player, let's face it, on defense in the NFL this year. And the NFL includes a guy named Aaron Donald. You don't have one defensive player listed there. You do have Derrick Henry. You got to take Derrick Henry out and put T.J. Watt in.
Absolutely not. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Stephen A., you bumped your head on this one, man. And listen, Max, even you bumped your head a little bit on this right here. Have we heard of Xavier Howard? Did he have 10 interceptions this year?
10 interceptions.
We're just going to ignore him. T.J. Watt. I like that you got in there. Max, at least you're thinking somewhat defensively. I'm an offensive guy, but it's obvious Stephen A. buys tickets just to watch points be scored. He don't care who's trying to defend them. And here's the part that insults me the most for Max Kellerman. The running back position is predicated on or it's too relies too much on run blocking. How about those quarterbacks you just mentioned? You don't think that quarterbacks are happy because their offensive line blocks? You don't think Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers because of Bakhtiari before the injury and that offensive line? Because let me tell you, it don't matter the names on the back of the jerseys. You give Aaron Rodgers 4 and 5 seconds, can't nobody cover them cats. I mean, come on now. Like, we're going to act like one position, it relies on the offensive line? That's silly, man. Like, listen here. Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards, you deserve it.
Running backs are more interchangeable.
Needs to be three. What's that?
No, go ahead. Running backs are more interchangeable than quarterbacks.
Can I answer
if
this?
If you get good run blocking, any running back will give you good production.
Hold on, Jeff.
No. Hold on. That's not the case, though. That's not the case. 5-yard average and 2,000 yards, that's not just interchangeable. It's like if you said you put Carson Wentz in Green Bay's offense, he's going to do the same thing Aaron Rodgers did.
Not going to happen.
It's interchangeable. It's a good quarterback
with
decent talent, whatever that is. Like, it ain't interchangeable, bro. Like, Derrick Henry is a different dude than most running backs, and he gets better as it goes. Like, you can't just clean sweep a guy.
Quarterbacks are not running backs.
Excuse me. It's my list. I've got something to say to both of y'all, okay? It's my list, all right? Let's get to you first, Max Kellerman, all right? We got Derrick Henry here. Listen, you can talk about run blocking all you want to. The brother ran the ball 378 times.
Yes.
You understand that?
You're lying.
378 times. Yeah. This is a dude that wears you down. This is a dude that wears you down. Everybody can't do that. Most dudes can't do that. So let's knock that off.
Correct.
Let me get to you, Jeff Saturday. I appreciate what I've seen from Xavier. I got that. I know the brothers big time. 10 interceptions can't be ignored. But we've seen some lapses with Miami, particularly at the end of the season. We've seen them be up and down to some degree defensively. They haven't had the same level of consistency that Derrick Henry has. When we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, their defense is top three. Top three against the pass, not so great against the rush. We've seen some inconsistencies from them as well. When I'm talking about Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, Derrick Henry, you tell me where the inconsistency is. And I'm not ignoring defense. They're honorable mentions. We could put them 6 or 7, definitely top 10. But top 5, you trying to tell me to move out Derrick Henry or Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs for those dudes?
Yes.
No, I'm not doing it. And I'm not wrong, Jeff. And you need to give it up for a change.
Hold up.
Because I'm not wrong.
No, hold up. How about Travis Kelce getting up at 5? Why don't you push Diggs out? If Mahomes is going to be 2 because the way he carried, can Kelce not be up there for the way he carried?
He could be
up
there.
The best ever for a tight end this year. He's not in the conversation.
Hold on, stop. Let me ask you the question. It's Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's a stud and a future Hall of Famer. My brother from another mother. I love Travis Kelce. Here's my question to you. 1,400 plus yards receiving, all-time numbers for tight ends. We get all of that. But when you look at Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen, that's who Josh Allen has. In the case of Travis Kelce, you do have Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and those and Sammy Watkins and those boys to contend with, which obviously makes the challenge a bit easier for Travis Kelce because of his support, whereas Stephon Diggs doesn't necessarily have that.
I got another one for you. I got another one for you that no one wants to think about because the team was terrible. They only had 4 wins, but that didn't stop this dude from balling. Deshaun Watson. Because from a losing team.
Right.
You show me more valuable, 5 more valuable players
Max
this year than Deshaun Watson.
Right. Stop it. I love Deshaun Watson.
You sit back. That's killing, bro.
Can't put him on the list.
Listen.
4 wins.
All right. Listen.
Totally agree,
None
Jeff.
Of you are DJ Khaled. If I hear another one more time, we don't have time for another one.
Another one.
Stephen A., solid list. I'm impressed with it, honestly. Aaron Rodgers at 1, I'm with it. Jeff Saturday, you're a Super Bowl champion. I'm a Giants fan, and I need your opinion on this, so let's go there. Yesterday, Giants head coach Joe Judge was super salty. He was mad about how Doug Peterson and the Eagles handled that situation in the fourth quarter. Please take a listen. I want your reaction.
To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling them practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay? To tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Jeff, top of the show, I applauded Joe Judge for this. I liked what he had to say. Stephen A. wasn't with it. Tell me this. How did Judge's comments make the Eagles look now?
It doesn't change. Listen, the Eagles aren't worried about the Giants. I mean, you think Doug Peterson cares what Joe Judge thinks about him and the way he coaches his football team? Absolutely not. Look, Joe Judge is upset that the Eagles didn't plan on winning the game, but by no means, the Eagles didn't change what they said. Doug Peterson talked about it the whole week leading up, right? Sudfield was going to get reps, Fletcher Cox, Miles Sanders, like these guys. Wentz wasn't even dressed. Like, to think that they were going in this game full-on trying to win this game, it's a four-win team. I guarantee you, Roseman and Lurie, all these guys had a meeting before and said, hey, the difference between 9-6, that's better for our football team. We're going to go out and evaluate talent. This is what we're going to do. The issue is, it affected the Giants because the Giants finally beat the Cowboys and they go win six games. But as far as what the Eagles are trying to do, listen, the only people who can be upset with what Doug Peterson did is the players in the Eagles locker room, right? Because it does suck not to be able to play to win. And I have been on a team. Look, I was on an undefeated team. We were up against the Jets. I think it was 14-10 or something. And they pulled Manning and half the other squad, and everybody goes out. We end up losing to the Jets. By the way, the same Jets we had to beat in the AFC Championship game. This happens every year. The Steelers didn't play. The Chiefs didn't play on Sunday. There are a ton of teams. Last year, the Texans let the Titans in, and the Titans run rampant in the playoffs. It happens all the time. Teams are in charge of themselves. He's not discrediting the game. He's not taking a shot at the NFL, all that nonsense. The Eagles don't carry legitimacy to the NFL. The way players line up and play does. Sudfield didn't have a good day. Honestly, Jalen Hurts didn't have a good day. What's he, 7 of 20 or something like that? So
yes,
it's not like
exactly.
This whole thing was just walking out that way. To lay all this on the feet of Peterson because it was the last game of the regular season, he robbed us of something. No, he didn't, man. His job is to make the Eagles the best team. This year was not going to happen. They had no chance at the playoffs. They moved on. They want a better draft position. That's the way the game is played. Hey, if you got a problem with it, play better. Any team that has an issue with not making the playoffs. By the way, the Steelers let the Browns in. I mean, so how are we going to ever discuss who is playing for a win and who is not? It's not their responsibility to carry another team's water, man. At the end of the day, go handle your job.
I'm a Giants fan, and sure, I was mad because of that, but that's not why I'm saying what I'm saying right now. It's just not just from the point of view of a Giants fan. I get it. If the Jets are, let's say, winless on the last game of the season, if they won a game, I would understand why Jets fans would be like, really, Trevor Lawrence is there, and you just blew it because you had to win on the last game of the season? I get that. If they're not sticking it to a divisional rival or anything like that, they're just – the Eagles were playing Washington. There was a reason that game was flexed to primetime because it had playoff implications for the NFC East, which even though it was putrid this year, the NFC East still has the most fans, right? It's the most densely populated region. They have long-standing, great rivalries. They're playing an NFC East rival with a chance to keep them out of the playoffs. Really, even if I wasn't a Giants fan, even if I was a Rams fan or a Chargers fan, I'd be like, this is not right. It's not, you're moving from 9-6 in the draft. That's a good enough reason to tank? Really? That's a good enough reason? You want to evaluate guys? You need to know what you have in Sudfeld? Stop it. What you need to know is how your second-round draft pick quarterback might perform in a primetime game against a divisional rival with playoff implications, even if it's not for your team, late in the game in the fourth quarter in a one-score game. That's what you want to see from Jalen Hurts. You don't care about Sudfeld. Come on, get out of here with that, Jeff. Like, it's not that you're never allowed under certain circumstances to say, to hell with the rest of the league. We have to worry about our own stuff, even if it seems anti-competitive. Mm-hmm. These weren't those circumstances. This was awful.
Well, first of all, let me say a couple of things. Max, I want to say for the record, I think you embarrassed yourself on national TV several minutes ago when you said, based off of this past game, Doug Peterson should be fired. That's what you said.
Oh.
You said, yes, that's what you said.
Absolutely not.
I said that before this last game.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying you didn't say it before, but you emphasized that you said that Doug Peterson is a good coach. You even used the word excellent. But then you said, after what we saw this Sunday, he definitely should go. And I'm saying that's ridiculous. If he's excellent, then he's excellent, and you keep him. That's number one. Number two, let's make sure for the purposes of this audience that we're clear about what argument we're making here. Let me be clear about mine. Jeff Saturday, I completely agree with you. I think it's an overreaction by a lot of people. I agree with Michael Irvin with what he said about the Giants. You had 16 damn games to show up and prove yourself and handle your own business. I reemphasize the fact that the Giants, after week 12, were 5-7 in first place in control of their own destiny and proceeded not just to lose three straight coming into Sunday night's game, but to score a grand total of 26 points in those three games. You're the second worst offense in points. You're the second worst offense in yards. Don't get me started with your running game now that Saquon Barkley was out, or your overall offense. You lost. You had the opportunity to do so. We know we can sit up there and sneeze at what Doug Peterson did. I don't particularly like what he did, Jeff. I respect and appreciate your position, and I'll roll with you on that. I just don't like it. But what the issue in question right now is this. What the hell is Joe – and I love Joe Judge and the job that he's done with the Giants this year. And I think he's got a bright future.
For sure.
He's impressed me this year. But let me be very clear. What the hell are you doing commenting about this, about the Eagles? You didn't play them, and you had an opportunity to handle your business, and you didn't do that. And so the reality of the situation is that he needs to shut the hell up. And all of those members of the New York Giants need to shut the hell up. Because you had an opportunity long before the Eagles ever showed up on the field against the Washington football team Sunday night to handle your business, and you wet the bed for three straight weeks. You didn't get it done. And so when that's the reality of the situation, I'm not saying that what Joe Judge said is wrong. I'm saying he's the person that has no business saying it, nor should anyone for the New York Giants organization. Leave that for me or commentators, pundits, football aficionados like Jeff Saturday and others to say that. He doesn't need to be saying it because as the coach of the New York Giants, with all due respect, you didn't handle your business the last 4 weeks. And that's why I came down to this.
Yeah. And listen, let's not miss the point. Like Stephen A., I fully agree. I don't like it. Listen, when I got pulled for games and we weren't able to complete games and do those things, it frustrates the players. Like Jason Kelsey being upset, all those guys being upset, Jalen Hurts being upset. I can completely understand everybody in the Eagles locker room being frustrated. But at the end of the day, they don't get paid to make those decisions. And whether it was Lori, whether it was Roseman, whether it was Doug Peterson himself, whoever made the final decision, this is the direction we were headed. It was a plan from the week. I mean, you could see when they didn't kick the field goal, they were telling you everything you needed to know, right? Like, that's a simple call, right? Tie the game. Let's move on. But to act like we're disrespecting the game because of the timing that it had, to me, is just silly. Like, they had already said, they had already addressed what they were going to do. So there was no surprise element to this. Wentz didn't dress. Cox didn't. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you have to know what's happening and be aware of it. And to your point, I think Joe Judge is doing this to speak to his own locker, right? I mean, here's a guy from New England, and we talked about this earlier on Get Up, right? They do play their guys. I mean, Belichick played Brady in games that were unnecessary. So you know they're not afraid to do it. So maybe his mentality is different. But as far as going around and discrediting the game or saying that we were robbed of something, you know, that to me just takes – it just goes too far, right? Because everybody has done the same thing that the Giants organization has. I can't imagine being in the locker room this past year, but every team, including the Eagles, went through the exact same procedures. Look, it ain't fun,
totally,
but it's part of the business.
Jeff, I totally disagree. And Stephen A., you're focusing on the Giants. I understand you seem to be saying, look, whatever Judge's motivation, even if it's pure and has nothing to do with the Giants, because he'll look conflicted if he talks about it. He'll look like he has, an incentive to say what he says, so he should just shut up. But they asked him point blank, and he's just as outraged as almost all football fans. today. It's really not an issue of all the Giants, like me just being a Giants fan or other people. Football fans are upset. And, Jeff, I disagree about the play calling even. I understand going for it there. I don't mind not playing scared. I don't mind not fearing a negative result in case it doesn't happen. I like being aggressive, and there was plenty of time in the game, even if you don't tie it with a field goal there. I know that goes against conventional wisdom, but I didn't mind that. I wasn't outraged by that. I was like, okay, bet, let's do it. You know, like, let's see what happens. And it didn't work out. You can't cry about that. But when you pull Jalen Hurts, and as poorly as he was playing as the game went on, Jalen Hurts is the reason they were in that game. I mean, he was willing them in that game earlier on. When it was 10-0 and it looked like they were going to roll over, Jalen Hurts wasn't having that. No, they had a chance to win and keep a divisional rival out of the playoffs. That's the reason it was on primetime. The football world was watching, and the Eagles, in order to draft 6th instead of 9th, didn't try to win. They at a certain point, they just didn't try to win. It's not all right.
So Max, you think it discredits the game that Roseman, Lori, Peterson believe those three spots matter more? You think it discredits the entire game because they think that's the most important? Because, by the way, they don't control 31 other teams. They just control theirs, right? So that discredits the game because they felt like for their organization it's the best decision. So every decision made for playoff teams, non-playoff teams, because everybody – this happens every season at the end when teams decide to play guys, not play guys. Teams are inadvertently affected. That's just the bottom line of the business. So you're telling me that's what discredits because they decided, hey – you know, we're going to give Sudfield a run, let him go play and see what happens. And, you know, he didn't get it done. Would Jalen got done? Who knows? But at the end of the day, that shows you, to me, it's an organizational decision. They made it. You can love it or hate it. I wouldn't have wanted to do it. I can assure you that. But them doing it doesn't discredit the game to me.
Jeff, if you brought up Jason Kelce earlier as a fellow offensive lineman. Kelce had media availability comments on the 19th. You can Google it. I recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it. I'm sure you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
That explains very well to me what was at stake for the players and everything. Stephen A., that's why, in spite of the fact that when Peterson has a quarterback, he'll just do what he asks him to do, no matter if it's a 40-year-old on one leg in the playoffs or it's Nick Foles or it's Jalen Hurts, you could see he's a good coach. Carson Wentz kept him from looking like a good coach recently. I'm talking about a coach for this team. They've spent that Super Bowl credibility at this point. Unless it comes out that Peterson had his hands tied, I don't see how a locker room responds to him next year.
A locker room could easily respond to him by him either saying, I had orders from above, or B, I made a mistake, I apologize, here's my resume, I'm a Super Bowl champion, this won't happen again moving into the future. They're grown men, they can get over it. Who gives a damn? Bottom line is the Giants shouldn't have anything to say about it.
So disrespectful, Stephen A. So disappointed in you right now.
It hurts.
Jeff Saturday, I don't even know what to say to you either. But Happy New Year to you and your family.
I'll talk to you guys later.
I got to go. Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.